Okay. So we're finished one full week of Lent.
Lent, yes. How is your Lent going?
Not off to a good start. You know, I wanted to participate more. I mean, the school has structures for us to participate more, partially because we had a snow day, and I had a couple other things. I wasn't able to participate in some of those things. So I missed Mass. I missed a prayer group. I missed a Bible study. So a bunch of stuff that normally should happen that didn't happen or that I didn't go to. So in terms of we had talked about for Lent trying to do something and trying to give up something. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the thing that I was trying to do, not so good. I had tried to, or I'm trying to give up non-work-related internet browsing. I had, actually, that's going pretty well, but I gave myself a big out, which was I said that I would not open up, like, any internet browser, but I could still use the Facebook app on my phone.
Oh, yeah. I think of you every time I am watching a random video from Facebook and thinking how it was a good idea that you said to give that up, and I am both enjoying but then feeling guilty about watching whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, I am saving time. I do notice that because I used to spend a lot of time reading a lot of news articles and reading ESPN articles, and all of that got cut out. So there's an effect.
It may not help that I post a lot of videos on your Facebook wall.
Yeah.
I posted one this morning about the gym.
I saw it. I watched it.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's how things have been going for me. How about for you?
Not too bad. You know, I was telling Jen this morning, I've done it for a couple years now, it's not so bad for me to give up meat. It also helps that I've been eating a good amount of sushi. So I enjoy that. And I thought I was going, well, I had planned to really give up sweets, and I am still trying. But I just have such a big sweet tooth. It's hard for me to do it.
Yeah.
But one thing that, you know, I made you watch, all these things I think I'll post on the site as far as things that I might reference in case people are interested, because I like to share random videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we watched that thing about Cardinal Dolan talking about Lent last night, and he talked about how I just like the messages that, you know, it's very concise and has, like, emotional music, and he speaks in that wise grandfatherly way.
That he may or may not practice.
Yeah. But, you know, he talked about it, not just during Lent, but just in our lives, we periodically get lost. And Lent is a good time that we can set aside where you can, you know, if it's in your heart, you can seek to return to the church.
Right.
And, you know, so I think I like things like that, I guess, because it sort of validates or addresses things that I'm going through. You know, I'm not perfect, even with superficial or kind of light things. Like, for me to give up sweets, in the grand scheme of things, it shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
And even I have a problem with that, or I struggle with that, or it's a challenge. But I think that's also a good reflection of other things in our life. And we had talked about things that we're going to talk about, maybe for the future, for a future podcast, mm-hmm. confession and things like that.
Right.
I don't think I've been to confession since maybe the last Lent.
Right.
No, that's not true. But I don't go to it often.
Right.
I mean, there's a bunch of things that, just like with exercise or diet or stretching or prayer, that we have in our lives that, you know, we feel like we could do better at. But, you know, at the same time, we have to recognize that, you know, not to always give ourselves an out, but in doing the best we can.
Yeah.
One thing that Tuan Tam in Sog talks about in relationship to strength, like strength and masculinity and stuff like that. He had mentioned how there's always going to be people that are stronger than you, relatively. You know, so I may not be the biggest, strongest guy. I might not be the toughest mentally or, you know, most resilient in my fortitude. But so you may not always be, in absolute terms, the strongest or the most holy or the most prayerful or whatever. But what matters more than that is the direction in which you face. So are you moving towards a direction of strength? You know, during Lent, are you moving towards a direction of like reflection and prayer? Or is it just, or am I just kind of spinning my wheels and just, you know, hanging out?
Right. Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, I think psychologically part of what goes through my mind is this idea of strength. You mentioned strength. This idea of, am I strong enough to honor this commitment that I've made, right? this piece of fasting that I have? And there's all kinds of psychological pressure that I put on myself. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, well, if I don't live up to that, then I'm a failure, or, you know, I'm weak. And, you know, there's been this sense of trying to prove something to myself, like, yeah, I can do this, and you know, prove to me or prove to God. And I think I was telling you a little while ago that at school we had watched this National Geographic video by a retired National Geographic photographer, rather. And he makes these inspirational videos. And one of the things that he said, and I'll have to find his name later and maybe post a video also on the blog. But on his first day in National Geographic, his editor said to him, "You are among the best photographers in the world. Don't worry about that. You have nothing to prove." He's like, "So don't prove yourself." He goes, "But if you, every day that you're out there, if you don't improve yourself, then you're fired."
Oh, man.
I thought that was cool, right? Yeah. And so that goes along with what you were saying in terms of just striving and just trying to do your best every day. It's not about proving yourself to God, but it is about improving yourself.
Well, I think in some ways that pressure or that self-expectation or either the expectation from other people is important. Maybe last year or the year before, I was at instructor camp at Guru Dance, and he was talking about carrying on Filipino martial arts, and he told us, and I took it very seriously, he told us, "All of you carry the name of Filipino martial arts. I hope you represent it well." And I was like, oh man, I hope I do. You know, but it's good.
Right.
And yeah. Kind of along similar lines, Tuan Tom also was talking about how there's a well-recognized, you know, shooting instructor, like tactical instructor. And he had told some, I think they were probably law enforcement or military, "If you are not making yourself more lethal every day, then you are failing." So that's not particularly Catholic, but, you know, I think those expectations, those little things can drive us. And in a similar way, which I had, you know, I thought was both funny and amusing, was in this past week, someone in, I guess during the Pope's, I think he's in Mexico, during his visit, you know, he goes and talks to the crowd, and someone pulled on his sleeve, and he like toppled over. In fact, I think he was really concerned about this man in a wheelchair who was sort of stuffed into his tummy when he started to fall over, because he was half sort of like almost with his hand and even with his facial expression, you know, concerned about this guy. And then he started to scold. I don't know who it was that pulled him. And I was telling you, when he scolded, I guess in Spanish, he said, "Don't be selfish." And then all of his guards, you know, the Secret Service or the, what are they called?
Not Swiss secret, Guard.
Swiss Guard. I guess, because they're plain clothes. They all looked with the stare of, what's the word? Of blame.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I think a lot of people, it's striking because a lot of people do have expectations of that. And we expect him to be, well, people expect him to be Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he has this image, and he has this role, not just the image, he has the role, the vicar. But with that being said, you know, all these expectations, I think there's good things and bad things, but I think they can definitely drive us, hopefully, in the directions that we're trying to go.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things that you said a little bit ago about Cardinal Dolan's reminder for us to use Lent as a time to remember that sometimes we get lost, and, you know, in his in his little message there, you know, the church figuratively was home, and he was always finding his way back to the church, figuratively and literally. But I think that's a good analogy for our topic for the day, which is, you know, if in Lent, or if during the course of the year, we do get lost, and Lent is our time to find our way back, maybe in sort of the broadest way, you know, you and I had talked about just being lost in terms of faith in general, right? And this question about, okay, if Lent would be a time to sort of return to our Catholic roots, but why should we do that? You know, why? In other words, our topic for today is why be Catholic, or more particularly for us, and for I think a lot of people who are born Catholic and raised Catholic, why stay Catholic?
Yeah.
Right. And so that was one of the topics we had discussed. And what were some of your thoughts and questions on that whole thing?
Well, I remember someone that I do look up to. I don't remember how it came up, but he remarked, and he's not even Christian. He's not religious, but he has in his family, there's a lot of people who were preachers and ministers and stuff like that. So he's very well educated in Christianity and Catholicism and, you know, religion in general. And he just remarked slightly jokingly, but he said something like, why Catholic? I mean, if you're going to be Christian, of all the things, why would you want to be Catholic?
Right.
And I think what that tapped into was, and still does, you know, being Catholic is not just, it is not just like a descriptor. It's not like I'm a man. I mean, maybe it is, actually. I'm a man, I'm American, I'm Catholic. But it's not just something that's sort of only existing in today's time and age, but it has this long tradition of things that, for good or for bad, people may have opinions or other thoughts on. And so for me, you know, it's interesting because, in all honesty, I'm Catholic because we were raised Catholic.
Right.
I don't have the benefit or the experience of being something else other than Catholic and then coming to Catholicism.
Right.
I think if I did, I'm just guessing, I feel like it would be more intentional or at least driven in different ways as far as like my Catholicism.
Right.
But at the same time, and there's other religions and denominations that I actually appreciate. I've always thought that like the Unitarian Universalists,
right,
are sort of like the JKD of Christianity, because they, you know, they take all these different paths, and you know, like when I've looked into them or had people explain it, it makes a lot of sense to me. But for me, I stay Catholic, and I remember asking, I don't think he was there as a teacher when we were at Loyola, but there was a priest. I just remember his name was Father Bob. And I actually only met him because I was telling Jen recently, it came up, actually when we went to that Taste of Loyola, because we were walking by the house, and I was telling her how it's sad that there's no more priests that live there.
Right.
Because it was always comforting, even if we never interacted with them, to know that there were priests that were there.
Right, right.
And there was two times when I was in college, and one time, both times actually, it wasn't like a crisis, not an emergency crisis, but maybe of a little bit of an emotional, spiritual crisis. And one time I just went to that house. And I remember there was a receptionist or someone that was there. And it was late at night, so I'm, you know, thinking back, I'm sort of surprised. But I remember she asked if she could help me, and I said, you know, is there a priest here? I really need to talk to someone. And so here comes Father Bob, and he was the older guy. Mick knows of him. He remembers him. So right. Maybe he was a teacher when Mick was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down, and, you know, we developed a relationship. And it wasn't that night, or maybe it was, but I don't think it was, at least in the initial, where we had talked about different things, and there was a lot of stuff that he had said that where he was critical of the church, I think. And I think maybe some of it was that I was struggling with my own faith, too. Like, what is this? What am I participating in? Is this something that, almost like a search for identity?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lot of things where he agreed also. I remember specifically he was not disparaging, but slightly critical of the Pope.
Right.
And the church's views on women as priests.
Right.
And different things like that. And so I just asked him, I was like, Father Bob, you have a lot of views that seem to be similar to mine. You're critical of the Pope. And, there's something about me that I like that there are these priests that are also can be critical of the church.
Right.
And I asked him, so if you have some beliefs that may be critical or in dissent of some of the official stance.
Yeah, the doctrines.
Why are you Catholic? Or why do you stay Catholic? Or why are you a priest? Or something along those lines. And he put it really simply, and it may not always be the best answer, but it really holds me, at least, on some level. And he said, well, I'm loyal to the church. I may have my views. I may have opinions or thoughts that differ, but I am loyal to the church. And I really like that. And so I know this is a super long answer. I don't mean to monopolize the time, but, for me, a lot of it is that I was born into our family and our culture, Catholic, and I really like that idea of loyalty. It's not super deep. It's not, I've examined all the religions, and in my analysis, I've determined this is the best fit for me and the most theologically sound. I wish it was something like that, but it's not. But for me, as honestly as I can, that's why I'm Catholic.
Right, and I have had a lot of conversations with people who ask the same question, and who have that same line of thinking, namely, there are so many different religions out there. Why do you choose to be Catholic? And I think a lot of Catholics, their stock answer is, well, I was raised Catholic, and I feel sheepish saying it because we know that that's not necessarily a good response. We can be raised to be all kinds of things. We can be born into all kinds of things, and we're born and raised with cultural prejudices that we inherit from society. But just because we were born and raised with them doesn't mean that we should continue holding those views, right? And we should change, and we should be intentional. And I think that's the big issue, right? We are we Catholic, as you were hinting? Are we Catholic in the same way that we happen to be male? Or in the same way that we happen to be American, or in the same way that we happen, to live in a particular place and time? Is it an accident of our existence, or is it an intention of our existence that we're Catholic? And obviously the church has this whole idea of confirmation, which at which point you make it intentional, you make it yours, you go from your faith being an accident to being an intentional facet. So from an accidental facet of your life into an intentional facet of your life. But yet, I was in eighth grade when I had confirmation. And although I consider myself a rational thinker at that time, it's not like gym membership that you renew every year and you say, okay, well, do I intentionally continue to be part of this gym or not? And even if you forget it throughout the year, once a year you think about it and you recommit. We don't really have that. At least we don't have it sacramentally that, okay, every year I have to go back and intentionally renew my status as a Catholic.
That's right? True. And we're also not put in positions where by circumstance, now this time is up and now I'm going to be in this other church. So we went to Loyola for middle school and high school. But at the end of high school, you can't stay there. Right. So wherever you go, you went to Loyola College, I went to University of Maryland. And so we're forced into these other situations that may put us in different contexts and different situations. With Catholicism, in some ways it's, I like the idea with the Mormons, I believe it's the Mormons, how I think around the ages of like eight, somewhere around like 16 or 18, they have to go and do some evangelizing.
Yep.
Because I think it really seals in. I don't know why they do it, actually, but I think what it does, in my opinion, it kind of seals in some of their thoughts if that's something that they want to do or not. And we're not forced to do that. In fact, in our society, which isn't really pro-Christian anything, you can sort of just fall out of Catholicism, and you're not necessarily forced to think about other denominations or even the fact that you may not be an actively practicing Catholic or Christian. You just kind of fall out, and then, you know, at some point, some people feel like they want to come back, or they may think about it, but there's no structure, and not that there should be, but there's just nothing in place where now I'm in the time of my life where I have to reevaluate or reassess if this is for me.
Right.
Almost like, I guess, being American.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you lived abroad.
Right.
But for a lot of Americans like myself, I've only lived in America. I was never put in a place, either by my decision or not, where I was living in another country, and then I reassessed my citizenship, for instance.
Right.
It just never happened.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad about it. I'm very proudly an American, and I'm a proud Catholic.
Right.
But we're not forced. There's nothing in place where we're like, oh, okay, now I got married. Should we be Catholic? I don't know. We're not forced to do that.
Right. Right. There's not much at stake. You know, we're not living in a country that makes it difficult to be Catholic, right? You know, Maryland was the first state to be a haven for Catholics, and so traditionally and historically, we Catholics have had protection. I think partially because of that, it's not definitely not considered weird or unusual to be Catholic. Probably in the U.S. in general, but specifically in Maryland, and so there's no sort of social pressure to have to decide, as you're saying. And it's interesting that you talk about those structures in place that encourage it or that don't encourage the faith. And I remember, you know, a turning point for me was somewhere in my first or second year, I guess towards the end of my first year of college, and definitely by the end of my second year of college, when I decided to major in philosophy, right? And a vast majority of contemporary philosophers are not just non-Catholic, but atheist. Many of the philosophers that I enjoyed reading were thinkers. I don't know if...
You know, Nietzsche?
Nietzsche, right. Freud, Marx, sort of the great atheists. And there's a lot of sense in some of their writings, and not just them, but, you know... existentialist philosophers, and you know all these other philosophers who in fact nowadays pretty much take it as an assumed fact that there is no God, much less that the church or that Jesus Christ has no special significance. And there's a lot of wisdom in what they have to say, and there's a lot of insight that can be relevant to life and to how we can think of the world. And so I did struggle with that, and I remember when I went to China that first summer, I took a 6-week course in Confucianism, Taoism, and Buddhism. And that really takes the mind out of the frame of the Catholic Church. I mean, I was with a Jesuit institution, right? So the Beijing Center is a Jesuit-run institution. But I was living in China. I was learning about these Chinese religions, reading all of these texts. And again, encountering this profound wisdom and insight, such to the point that I began to think, how does this fit into everything? And there's a lot of sense to this, right? And a lot of it is flat out contradictory to the church. I mean, there's certain things that just can't be reconciled. So a lot of people sort of say, well, you know, all religions teach the same thing, you know, be peaceful and be nice to each other. And therefore, you know, why would you be this one particular thing? But quite frankly, when you look into it, they don't teach all the same thing. And while there is significant areas of overlap and significant concepts of that are common to different religions, there are also things that are flat out contradictory, right? And there are certain things that, when perceived a certain way, I mean, are a direct contradiction. And so for Buddhists, for example, like the Dalai Lama wouldn't necessarily say it, but when you look carefully into certain types of Buddhist literature, the suggestion that the belief in a god or even the belief in an afterlife would be an attachment that you need to release, that, you know, holding on to this idea that life is precious, or holding on to the idea that you should go to an afterlife, or even holding on to the idea of good and evil, that these are illusions and attachments that cause greater suffering than they alleviate.
Mm-hmm.
And those are powerful statements, and those are in direct opposition to how the church and Christianity as a whole views the world, right? For Christianity as a whole, there is a positive good to be achieved and to be sought after and to be lived for. And it's not a mere illusion. And so I struggled a lot with that because there is, again, a kind of wisdom or kind of sense in some of these other religions. And so that's a weird experience to say, okay, well, this seems wise and insightful, and it is in direct opposition to something else that I believe to be wise and insightful. And how do I hold those two concepts, simultaneously in my mind, and is it possible? And what's interesting is that in the Eastern tradition, it is possible to hold sort of contradictory concepts in mind. In fact, maybe even necessary to do that. We can talk about that another time.
The yin and the yang.
Yeah, something like that. I'm glad at least that at the time and up to now, I don't feel the pressure to have to resolve that philosophical conflict. And that's not for me to do. I think it's for other philosophers to do. But my point is then when I came back to the U.S., I still considered myself Catholic. And I think it was, I'll talk about that in a second, but I did wonder how my experience in China and how my encounter with Eastern thought would change my spirituality and would change my outlook on life. And would it, in fact, take over Catholicism or replace Catholicism? And that's not what ended up happening. What ended up happening is that it ended up deepening and enriching and sort of expanding my view of the church. And again, I think that's a whole other topic. But I got to this point then where I didn't feel that tension, of having to choose. Right. In other words, I had lived in another environment, a non-Catholic environment. I had explored at least, two Eastern religions, and I came back to this faith. And for a number of reasons, I did not. Rather than feeling like I had to choose, I felt that the faith that I had was deepened and broadened. In that sense, there was a constellation there. But I did get to a point where I began to think, okay, my views now I consider Catholic, but I also know are not maybe traditionally Catholic.
Interesting.
And so one of the reasons why I wanted to teach religion in the Philippines and in general was because I wanted to see if I could still teach the Catholic faith in a way that is true to the faith and also true to how I was now seeing things and how I now believe things. And the short answer, the Cliff Notes ending is that I have been able to do that, and that's why I still consider myself Catholic. But that's been, that's been an up and down journey. And so the analogy that is helpful to me, and I think people listening might sort of say, okay, so you've talked about how you explore these other religions and lived in these other contexts, and then some just came back to it. But it was a struggle, and there was sort of a driving force as to why I decided and continue to decide to stay Catholic. And it has to do with two things. The first analogy, I would say, is what you said about being American. And that's absolutely true. Being American, for most people, is an accidental facet of life. Yeah. You just happen to be born in America. And yet, again, for me, I've had the good privilege of being able to not only travel, but to live in different countries for extended amounts of time.
Yeah.
And so even before Ivan and I moved back here, we thought about where we wanted to live. And so it was an open book.
Yeah.
We were sort of saying, okay, well, do we want to live here or there? And then we decided to move back to America. For a couple of reasons. One, we decided to move back to America.
Well, it's the best.
Of course, obviously, right. Well, because, no, there are economic and social and political benefits that you get. There's an ease of living. There's this emphasis on, you know,
freedom
and individual initiative and responsibility,
guns
and all the things. Yeah, guns and funnel cake and baseball and
yeah.
obsession with sports and whatever else. There's lots of good stuff to be had about to be said and to be lived and experienced in America, and so I wanted Ave to experience that, and I wanted to reconnect with that. But there's also a sense, more simply, and again, it's very simple, like your answer, and maybe not satisfactory to people who are deeply questioning the faith or critical of the faith, but my answer was that it's home, right?
Yeah, and I think it's inextricably tied to our identity. Like, I can't separate it.
Yeah.
I can't think
in English.
Yeah, I can move to Russia.
Yeah.
And maybe after, and it would be interesting to talk with mom or dad or someone else that's lived here in America for a long time, right. But I just can't for, and maybe I'm just short-sighted,
right?
You know, but I can't imagine at some point not feeling American,
right? And I think this is an interesting thing because we talked about how certain things about being American may be accidental and could be possibly intentional. So, for example, you know, Americans, we have this belief in independence and individual responsibility and all things like that, freedom, and those are good things. And I think those, because they're good, perhaps. They're extremely hard to let go of, and I wouldn't want to let go of them. And yet other things, you know, sort of, you know, the consumerist mentality of America, the obsession I had mentioned with sports and excess in all of its forms. I have found that some of those things are a little bit easier to let go, perhaps because they're not, you know, fulfilling to the human person.
But I think also in America, and it usually pertains to religion, but this kind of cafeteria style of you can pick and choose, that I'm fully American, but I may not like. I'm fully American in A, B, and C, but I reject X, Y, Z.
Right.
And I think sometimes for me, or maybe for other people with Catholicism, that's also a struggle.
Right.
You know, because I accept, okay, I do believe Jesus was the Son of God.
Right.
You know, I believe in general the story.
Yeah.
But you know what? I know that the Catholic Church teaches that the host, the Eucharist, is not just the Eucharist, but it is actually literally the body of Christ, like his flesh.
Right.
And I have to say, I struggle with it all the time.
Right.
In fact, I struggle with the fact that I don't believe it.
Right.
You know, so there's all these other things. And I remember there's someone that I really respect, you know, someone that I really look up to. There was like a mentor to me in California, and she was asking me one time, she just said, you know, she didn't ask why am I Catholic, but she was like, can you help me understand? It just seems so weird, you know, you guys worship Mary, you have all these saints, there's all these like rituals that outsiders don't understand, and I think a lot of Catholics don't understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was telling you about this last night, you know, with all these, not everybody, of course, but with some of the apologists, you know, rationales with, you know, hey, we're the Catholics, we're the best.
Yep.
I don't know if that's probably not what they're saying, but I think the tone is that.
Right.
That they always, you know, will ask other denominations or evangelicals or whoever, and they'll say, let me ask you something. Who founded your church? Because our church was founded by Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
Not someone that nailed some papers to a door, or whatever it is that they say. And they'll say, like, and where does your Bible come from? You know, so, but, yeah, I guess that sort of adopts a more modern way of, I don't know, maybe a simple way of authenticating or like, you know, validating the church. But to me, you know, we've spent a lot of time already talking about, like, justifying why we are not Catholic.
Right.
And still, like, we still, at least for me, I still struggle with, you know, being Catholic. I struggle and I don't struggle in that way, too.
Right.
I am loyally and unapologetically Catholic. But at the same time, you know, I do struggle with it. If someone asks me, like, why are you Catholic? I feel like I don't really have a great answer other than, well, I was born Catholic. I'm loyal to the church. And guess what? Jesus Christ himself founded my church.
Yeah, right.
You know, I really don't have, I wish I had something like, you know, I've, I don't know, maybe because our society today so much values that intellectualism or that logic of thought, you know, well, you know, I do P90X because of muscle confusion and, you know, it's, they have like these good reasons. It's not always in vogue for someone to be like, well, I do this kind of workout, or let's say like I swim.
Right.
Swimming is my primary like mode of exercise.
Right.
Just because I like it.
Right.
Like, that may be true. But I think a lot of people would rather say something like, well, you know, it's a great cardiovascular exercise. It's an awesome full body workout. You know, it doesn't, I guess in that way, I'm realizing it doesn't have to be so intellectualized.
Right.
Maybe it's just the way that we are. When you and I talk, we like to make everything super introspective.
Well, no, I think that what you're searching for is that still that logical or rational justification. I think that's important. Just like I think it's important to have some kind of justification to remain American.
Yeah, right? That's true.
I mean, okay. Now, I know that for a lot of people, it's like, well, it's expensive and difficult to move out of the country, and that's why I stay American. But no, I mean, again, for people who have lived abroad or traveled abroad and have seen other countries, you know, for me, you know, is America, will you have the highest standard of living per capita? No. You know, is it the country that will have the best education for your children? No. Is it the most peaceful country and is the safest place to live for you and your family? Also no.
This right? is also why we need to make America great again.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But if you take any one facet, America may not be the best. There are a few things to be said about it. First, for me, number one is, as I mentioned already, it's home, right? And that's not good reason enough. But as far as homes go, I think this is the second point. As far as homes go, it's a pretty good one. And we can point to a lot of evidence for why America is a good country, if not the greatest country. And even if it's not the greatest country by sort of objective measures, it's the greatest country for me, for now, right? And all these other things. And I think, to some extent, that's also how I see, you know, Catholicism. You know, so you look at religion, and people will say, okay, well, what is religion supposed to do, right? Is it supposed to make you a better person? Is it supposed to make you more ethical? And so you'd ask yourself, you know, and there are possible answers for that, right? Is it supposed to connect you to a greater sense of meaning? Is it supposed to bond you with the community? And the answer is yes. Religion is supposed to do all of those things. And so then you could sort of objectively look at Catholicism and say, all right, does Catholicism increase people's level of ethical behavior more than other religions? The answer to that is no. Does it increase people's feeling of bonding and connection to other community members more than other religions? Probably no, right? I don't know. I mean, maybe it does. Yeah. Maybe we need to do some kind of sociological or social psychological studies on this. But my point is that even if it doesn't do all of those things, you know, objectively that it would set out to do, part of it is that religion also is more than all of those things, right? And that brings me to sort of the second analogy besides the country analogy that I often think about, and that's one that's close and dear to us, and that's martial arts, right? And so, you know, we started out in Taekwondo and then in Dos Separas Arnis, and to some extent, you know, I think if someone like attacked me all of a sudden, my instinct would possibly be to do like a Taekwondo style sidekick,
knife hand block,
right? Yeah, right. Something, you know, something traditionally Taekwondo, or if I had a stick, you know, there would be certain movements that are now innate to me that I would respond with. And you could question that, and I'm sure as a martial artist you do. Are these moves the best moves for self-defense? You know, is this martial art the best thing to do for health, or for flexibility, or for strength? Which ostensibly martial arts is supposed to do for all of those things. And yet martial arts is also more than all of those things, right? Because if it was purely fighting and fitness, then mixed martial arts would be a much better option for people to do. There'd be no point to do sort of a particular martial art.
Yeah.
And yet maybe that's not the sole purpose, and maybe that's not also the primary purpose of a martial art. And I'd be interested to hear your thing.
And you touch on something interesting too. I used to have I do have a teacher in California. And he would always say, to me, Joe, the truth is in the movement. And his name is Guru Ramon, and he started with, in Asanto kind of Kali, and went into Dos Separas and San Miguel, and all these. He's very accomplished, and he's a great instructor and a great martial artist. But there's a part of him, too, that's also constantly searching for, not necessarily the ultimate martial art, but I think he's searching for, like, a purity or a truth. Which is a great, inadvertently, I didn't even mean to think about it, but it just came up. It's a great parallel to, I think, why people are looking for religion. And sometimes, specifically, even the particular denomination.
Yeah.
Or Catholicism.
Right.
You know, that they're searching for, like, exactly what you said, something beyond all these circumstantial things. It's not just, well, is it a good fit for me? I like it. It's in my price range. Feels comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's not,
yeah,
it's
a church around the corner.
That. Yeah.
I like the priest. Good homily.
Well, really, there's a lot of that happens too. But I think innately, on some level, I would probably say for everybody on earth, we just channel it in religion, and I think it's a universal to a lot of people for this way, but there is that search for truth.
Right.
And then so with Catholicism, it is a question then, if I'm going to live a life, if I'm going to live a Christian life with all the multitude of denominations that are available, am I choosing to be a Catholic because I have identified it as the truth? Mm. Is this the truth?
Right.
Because why would I want to do something that's not the truth? Like, well, let's say we realized, oh, actually, you know what? The Mormons are the truth. They're really the truth. But I'm still going to be Catholic.
Right.
Like, if we knew for sure,
yeah,
that the Mormons had the truth,
yep,
at least for me, I'd probably just be like, okay, I guess it's time to do all the things that I used to mock.
Yeah.
But as a Catholic, I think there is either a belief or a desire to believe or a hope that it will be proven to us that what we believe is the truth. Like, and I'm searching, just like with martial arts. Some people just like to do Tai Chi, Capoeira, or whatever, because they like it. But I think there is a search deeper than that for a lot of people, either within themselves to constantly reassess or to go outside and do their walkabout and look at other things, because they are looking for, like, well, what is the truth? Yeah. Is the truth maybe that there is no God? Maybe that there is no, none of this is real, and, you know, we should just follow logic and intellect and things like that? Or is the truth that there is a God? Now, who has the truth?
Right.
We just happen to be born in a tradition of a church that has existed for a very long time.
Right.
And we are, you know, we proudly talk about our lineage to Jesus himself and, you know, the rock on which the church was built, all these things.
Yeah.
But I think it is we're not going to solve it for this podcast. I was going to say, I hope not, but actually, it would be cool if we did.
Yeah.
But I doubt we will.
Right.
But I think, you know, whether it's martial arts or, for me, actually, that's a much greater parallel than my nationality.
Right.
You know, this search for, like, well, if I'm going to spend my time and resources, it's something that I love. I also want to know, is this the be-all, end-all? Because if it is,
right,
that's great. And if it's not, where can I seek that? Where can I quench my thirst for that? And so with Catholicism, I don't know. I wish I could, you know, say in this podcast, you know what? I found it. And in my journey, I've come to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I know He founded my church. He gave us our Bible. And I can't say necessarily with all of my intellect and emotion and all my spirituality that I have a very good reason. Other than that, you know, it is my home. I do love it. I'm critical of some things. I do love other parts of things. But I think maybe in some way it still offers me a path to seek that truth. Like, right, there's tons of stuff I don't know about Catholic. I learn from you all the time. You'll tell me about things. I'm like, oh, we believe that? I didn't know. Oh, awesome. Or we believe that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does offer that. It's not like, well, here it is. Here's the church. And then that's it. You know, there is a lot of avenue for, I feel like it offers pathways to growth and development. And it's also fulfilling in those ways too.
Right. And I think, you know, you've stumbled upon, or not maybe not stumbled upon, but you've mentioned something that has been crucial to me. And that is precisely as you say, the search for truth. And I mentioned towards the end of my freshman year or beginning of my sophomore year, sort of taking a turn and really wanting to explore intellectually what else is out there. And I remember very clearly, it's very clear in my mind, walking through the cafeteria of Loyola University in Maryland. And remember, I just remember thinking to myself that I desired to seek the truth, and that my one of my definitions of God is that God is truth.
Oh, I've never thought, like, consciously never thought. That's very admirable that you actually had that specifically in your mind. I don't think I've ever been like that. I'm searching for the truth.
Right. And I remember thinking, okay, well, then if God is truth and I pursue truth relentlessly, then I will find God. And if the truth turns out that God is not there, well, then God would never have been there, and at least now I have the truth, which is the next best thing, right? Which would then be as good as God, right? So I felt that as long as I relentlessly pursue the truth, I was going to win, no matter what.
That is a very philosophically logical way of looking at this, right. Much more deep than me.
Well, but I say that because I think my experiences so far have found that the truth with a capital T is much more than what reason can provide. And so we have profound experiences of truth, right? The birth of your children, right? The love of a spouse, beholding the beauty of nature, moments where we're listening to music, or even physically when you've accomplished something physically, a martial arts move or something at the gym or a really good workout, where it's sort of as if your heart is just beating, this is truth.
Oh, that's great.
And for me, I would say the biggest reason why I stay Catholic is because even if I struggle or even if I question or even if I can't quite comprehend the logical aspects of the truth that the church proclaims, it has been more than sufficient for me to know that in the church and in Catholic experiences, I have had more than my fair share of encounters with the truth. Whether that's moments in Mass or retreats, conversations with well-meaning old Jesuits.
Yeah. That's very profound. Now that you say that, I too. That's exactly true for me too.
Right. Even if we can't wrap our minds around it, there's something to us that knows its truth, and because of that, as with being American or as with being a Filipino martial artist, when you know its truth, you don't want to let it go.
Yeah. And plus, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
But Jesus wasn't Catholic.
Or was he? All right, that's a good one.
I never have a good way to finish these. We should end with, maybe for the future, we should end with some sort of, like, scriptural passage.
A hymn, maybe.
Like a harmonizing hymn, like Boys to Men style. No, but, I mean, do you have any favorite Jesus quotes you'd like to share before we finish?
Well, it's not a Jesus quote, but it is in Scripture, because you have sort of one of the reviled figures of the New Testament, Pontius Pilate, on this very note, right? Christ says that he's going to, you know, he's here to proclaim the truth. And Pontius Pilate scoffs at this and questions, well, what is truth?
Veritas. In the Passion, he said, "Caest veritas."
Right. And Pontius Pilate gets a bad rap for that, but you know, perhaps he was seeking truth too, but didn't realize. I think his sin, as it were, was to seek truth purely in the mind, and not to realize the truth that was standing right in front of him.
That's great. That's a great way to end.
See you next week.
Okay.